piercing your firewall and filling your ports with technology goodness. It's the 1352 Report.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 7 of the 1352 Report. My name is Bruce Elgort, and I am here with Sean Burgess.
Good evening.
Carl Tyler.
Hey, Bruce.
And Jeff Stratton.
Hello.
Jeff, tell everyone about your new haircut.
About my new haircut. It's really cool. It's an Eon Flux haircut, because my hairdresser rocks, and we just decided to do it.
Can you explain to the geeks out there in the 1352 land what whatever you just said is?
Yes.
Well, if they're geeks, they really don't have to know about it.
Well, I don't
know. Although saying that, more people have seen the Flickr picture of Jess's haircut than actually went to see the movie, I think.
I had to take pictures. Well, I just Twittered. I'm like, I have the best hairdresser ever. I just got out, and we decided to do an Aeon Flux too. And, you know, I always just kind of twit fun things like that. And all of a sudden, everybody's like, I want to see pics. I want to see pics. So I put them up.
And
so, yes, it has the two spiky things coming in the front, and it's really short in the back.
Jess, what's your Twitter name?
Matt and Jess.
Matt and Jess. MattAndJess.
Yes.
And Carl? Does Matt ever Twitter?
No, he says he doesn't even want to get started because he knows what's going to happen.
Sean.
He never joins in any of the reindeer games at all.
I know. I try to get him to. It's probably best for everybody, though.
Sean, your Twitter name is Figment, right?
Yep.
As Phigment. And Flyboy Tyler is Carl's, right?
Correct.
All right.
And Jessie has a Twitter address, doesn't she?
She does. And I don't remember what it is. She doesn't tell me anymore what she's posting about.
Yeah, after you put dry ice in her dog bowl.
Hey, that was funny.
Yeah, that was
to you.
It was funny to me. I mean, the dog, I think, found it very educational. I was explaining to her the effects of very cold items hitting the water, and you know, and I had to demonstrate to her exactly what was happening.
Carl, does Jesse have a cell phone by any chance?
No.
All right. Well, speaking of cell phones,
she is chipped, though.
Jess thought it'd be interesting to talk about some of the mobile phone things that people have been blogging about and some of the new phone announcements like the BlackBerry Bold and stuff like that and how they correspond to the world of Lotus and Notes and Domino and Same Time and all that stuff. So I'm going to let Jess take over the conversation.
All right, thanks. Well, yeah, everybody's talking about cell phones. And, you know, since everybody's also talking about Lotusphere, what usually happens to me once I get to Lotusphere, you know, here in the suburbs and stuff, I'm pretty cutting edge with my Trio, and everybody always asks me, wow, what a cool phone. But then the second I get to Lotusphere, I always get extreme gadget envy and always try to find out what people are using and how they like it. And, you know, because everybody down there has got the latest cutting edge, and you can see all the worldwide gadgets. So I just thought I'd kind of throw it out there to see what everybody's using and if you're using Notes for it and what software you're using and what phone and how do you like it. I guess I'll start. I'm a big Windows Mobile fangirl. I use a Sprint Trio Pro. I mean, sorry, Trio 800, and I'm using Common Times M Notes. I have a Domino server at my house, and so I installed it there. And it gives me UDP push technology for my calendar, tasks, email. It also does Gmail, IMAP. So I basically get everything. So there's really never any excuse if I don't return an email. I'm just being lazy. So it rocks.
Sean, what are you using? And Jess, do you use like Twitter on your phone too? Or
I do. I'm always looking. Actually, I'm interested to hear what other people's, Twitter mobile clients that they're using, because the Twitter mobile website is very limited in the terms that you can't reply. And that's really limiting for me. So if anybody has any solutions, you know, post them up on the 1352report.com in the comments. I'd love to get a discussion going.
Sean.
Jess, how many email addresses do you have going to your BlackBerry or to your Trio?
I have a Gmail account, and I have in my Lotus Notes account, I actually use a piece of software called PopWeasel, and it's running on my Domino server. And so it pulls in all my Pop accounts. I think it's pulling in about 5, and it just dumps them all into my Notes database.
But so you can't respond on those email addresses from your Trio, correct?
Not on multiple ones, no.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. That's because you have them all going into the one account, though.
Correct.
Exactly. So I have one that I set, obviously, is the primary, and that's just the outgoing one.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Mr. Burgess?
I've got a BlackBerry 8820 Curve, or 8120, whatever it is, the Curve. I've currently got 5 email addresses going into it. 4 of them are via IMAP, 1 of them via Vez. I do Twitter on it, and I actually do Twitter old-fashioned way with SMS texting. Because I like to keep a history and be able to go through things. I wasn't really fond of Twitterberry or any of those other clients, but I did like I do sort of like being able to turn things on and off with the SMS texting. It's pretty easy.
Mm-hmm. So whenever anybody twits you like a reply, or do you just get a text message for all of your followers? How does that work?
I get a text message for everybody that I follow. Plus, I get a text, and if I have it turned off at that point, any point in time, I also get an email on any direct messages.
Do you have it on vibrate?
For the text messages, I have it just lighting up the little flash thing. That's it.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask Jess this, then I'll ask Sean. So, Jess, what phone do you lust?
In terms of like gadgets, I would love to have an iPhone. But I don't know if it would do what I want it to do. And honestly, one of the reasons why I'm a big Windows Mobile fan is because, you know, I will beat software into submission if it doesn't do what I want it to do. And because it's Windows Mobile, it runs off of the registry. You know, that's what controls it all. So you can basically change anything you want and kind of hack your way to make it do anything. So always when I get a new Windows Mobile phone, I kind of change everything and get it exactly the way I want it to.
Have you ever played a Traveler?
No.
Okay. I'm sorry.
No.
Go ahead. The iPhone?
No, that's right. Yeah, the iPhone, it basically like kind of does all those things right off the bat. So that's the one thing that I really think I would like to have. But obviously, it's only available through AT&T, and we all live in the world of contracts, so it's just not possible for me.
And Mr. Burgess?
I would love to have a BlackBerry Storm, I think, or maybe the Bold. I'm still a big believer in the BlackBerry. I've had a couple other phones and just – For actually doing business work, I have a hard time going off of it. I know you're a big iPhone boy, but I tend to stay away from that.
Mm-hmm. Carl, what about you? What kind of phone are you carrying around now, and what do you do with it?
I have email accounts. It's with my Microsoft account using ActiveSync, and it syncs with Notes using IMAP, and it syncs with Yahoo using, I guess it's POP3 it's using. And that's just using the inbuilt mail client that's in the Windows Mobile. There's a few apps I use on it regularly, which is I use the web browser to actually read Google News Alerts and Google Reader if I'm out sitting around doing nothing. And I will actually look at Twitter just to read them. And then I as Jess says, you can't reply to it using the web interface, but you know, I probably just read them, and actually I probably twit more most if I'm sitting waiting for the car or something on the mobile than I do if I'm actually sitting at my desk. Other applications that are key for me on it are the Sling Player, so Slingbox. I can watch Slingbox on my cell phone. And also the thing that this is great for is I can use it as a modem, and I can connect to that with my PC and also with my little Nokia N800 device through Bluetooth, so it can be connected without even having a cable.
Mm-hmm. Jess, do you do tethering with your phone at all?
No.
Sean?
No. I mean, I've never actually been where I've needed to. Most places around where I go in situations, I get Wi-Fi if I need it.
Mm-hmm.
I must admit, I primarily use that on the train, and the train now actually has Wi-Fi on it, so it's something that's getting used less and less. Wow. One thing I will say about it is, you know, I often a few people have said to me, like, oh, it's Windows Mobile. It's useless at email. They tend to be people that have never actually tried a device to get their email. Because I can show them the ActiveSync, and I can get the alert through my phone before the email appears within the Outlook client. It actually works pretty well. The calendar syncs automatically and everything. It just works.
Mm-hmm.
Contacts the whole lot. So,
yeah, I was carrying – I'm sorry, Carl.
was going to say, it's one of those things that people should try it before they poo-poo it, because you can look pretty useless if you say something and then you find out it's not true.
Carl, you take that turducken out of the freezer yet?
No, I'll take it out afterwards.
Okay.
One of the things that always bothered me about the Windows Mobile platform, and it maybe it was the early generations, was the fact that if you hadn't backed up your configuration and you lost the battery power, it wiped everything. Mm. Is that so anymore?
I don't know. No, I don't think so, because it used to happen with Windows Mobile probably up until, I think, Windows Mobile 2003. I think it did that. And yes, you would lose everything, but I've definitely killed this phone a couple of times. It wouldn't even start without the battery on, and everything just came right back up as soon as I had it in the charger for, you know, maybe 5 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. Windows Mobile, I think with a lot of plans now, it automatically comes with Sprite Backup. So it just backs up your whole system right onto a storage card on schedule.
What about you, Carl? You know, you have the Curve, right? The Blackjack.
No, I have a Blackjack.
Right.
I've never had a flat battery with it yet, so I can't say. I mean, I know in the past I had a Palm, which was pre-Trio. And when the battery went flat in that, if the batteries were dead long enough, then you would lose everything. Yeah, but I haven't had that happen with this device yet.
Besides a girlfriend, what kind of phone do you want?
Besides a phone?
Besides a girlfriend.
The phone, yeah.
Yeah, besides something you want, besides a girlfriend, what kind of phone?
I don't really have much in the way of phone lust. I'd have to have a phone with a keyboard. I like a keyboard and being able to press the numbers without having to look at it. So for me, that kind of kills the Storm and the iPhone. I like the fact that the screen's so big on the iPhone, but I really do like having a keyboard that I can actually touch and things. Like a girlfriend.
Yeah, you're like a tactile kind of guy.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
A girlfriend or a wife, Sean?
The touchpad on the keyboard.
On the wife, yeah.
Yes. I can't have a girlfriend 1.0. Wife 1.0 has already been installed.
I used a BlackBerry for a long time, and I was using – we were on the Nextel network, and everyone knows that Nextel doesn't really make really good phones, Nextel Sprint. So finally, yeah, about a month ago, I was carrying around two phones. I was carrying around a BlackBerry Nextel device and my iPhone. And then I guess when in September the push email came out for exchange for the iPhone, because by day I use exchange. And it worked pretty well, and I really was able to give up the BlackBerry. And now, you know, the browser on the BlackBerry wasn't very good. The browser, you know, the Safari browser on the iPhone is great. And for people who don't see well, like myself, you know, being able to make the screen smaller and bigger, you know, was great. So I finally turned off the BlackBerry service, and now I'm strictly an iPhone guy. And as far as lusting a phone... Carl, you want to say a word there?
No, you go ahead. You talk about your lust the first.
the new BlackBerry, what is it? The Storm is the one with the tactile keyboard?
Touchscreen. That's
right.
It's
yeah.
Got a touch.
I mean, it looks really neat. I'd like to really put it in my hand and feel. You know, that's one thing on the iPhone. It's you know, granted, you hear the clicks, but the phone itself, you know, in your hand doesn't give you any feedback that you're actually doing something. So. Especially when you have it on silent, right? Well, I'm not going to go there, because that sounds dumb, right? When you have it on silent, you don't want to hear anything anyway. But I think when it's on silent on the BlackBerry, it vibrates a little bit or something. You don't get that on the iPhone.
See, I'm with Carl in that I like to have – it's a toss-up, because do you either want a big screen or a built-in keyboard? And as nice as it is to have a big screen, I really think that a built-in keyboard is going to win for me every time. What about you? Like with the iPhone, like how do you feel about typing on that? Do you ever have problems?
For those of you who know me, I really don't type anything long ever. So it's great, you know, happy face, smiley face, sad face. It works. It's pretty easy. Typing long sentences can be annoying. It's kind of like using the Apple TV remote, the little Apple remote, trying to, you know, find movies and stuff like that. It's kind of annoying. It is hard. You know, I've gotten better. I don't watch the autocorrect on the screen anymore, so I'll just go click, 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 and usually it's right. So
now I do still have a Sprint PCS Palm Trio. I think it's like a 600 or a 650, whichever one was still the Palm OS. And the reason I switched was because when I moved house, I had no coverage for Sprint, so I had to switch to AT&T. But I actually still use that phone because I have on it an application that I use for flying, which is from gpspilot.com, and that actually gives me a moving map and everything. And I can download maps in the plane of when I'm flying around. So that's pretty handy.
You mean during the flight when you're supposed to have all your cell phone off?
No, this is when you're flying yourself.
Oh, okay.
So you can decide whether you have your phone on or off.
Is that the biggest crocodile or what?
Very possibly.
Well, they use different frequencies, totally different frequencies.
I must admit, when I have people fly with me, if they have a GSM phone like my Samsung, I have to have them turned off because otherwise you get that all the time. And if you're talking to somebody or you're trying to hear somebody, that's really, really very irritating.
Yeah, it's like when you
the plane isn't going
to
crash, you know. If cell phones could bring down planes, we wouldn't be allowed them on planes because terrorists would be using them.
Yeah, how about when you take them into hospitals? They're going to interfere with everything.
Well, that there is supposedly some truth to that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a relative you want to get rid of.
Oh, boy. All right, what's next on the docket, gang?
Lotusphere, I guess. The sessions are out.
Yeah, Lotusphere sessions are out, right? And they're posted somewhere on IBM's site. A couple new tracks, right? There's a hands-on track this year? No, is it hands-on? No, what's
it called? Well, show and tell.
Show and tell, which is different than hands-on. Does anyone know exactly how that differs? I think Paul Mooney.
Show and tell is, yes. Show and tell is a kind of step-by-step instruction session. So they're going to tell you at the beginning what you're going to accomplish, and at the end of it you would have seen exactly how to do it. Unlike hands-on, you don't have to be sitting at a machine to watch it and appreciate it, but the slides and everything you get and you'll be able to read through will take you through step-by-step how to accomplish something.
2 hours, right? Two-hour sessions?
That's right.
What else is new as far as sessions go this year? Let me bring up that link if I can find it. We're all clicking away.
Yep.
All the slides will be presented in Symphony.
Will be uploaded and available in Symphony.
Before Lotusphere.
Are you saying you're not going to do yours in Symphony, Bruce?
I'm going to do mine. I'm going to hand mine in Symphony by December 5th.
Bruce is going to be using a flip chart.
Yeah, that's right. What's wrong? Who says you have to use slides to present anyway?
Well,
nobody.
Not if they look like your slides from iLog. It's not really useful, is it?
You know, I got a lot of compliments on that slide deck, so bite me. So the sessions, here we go. Lotusphere 2009. Oh, let's see. Tracks and sessions, here we go. I just bumped my nose on the microphone. So we have jumpstart sessions, right, which are held on Sunday. The show and tell sessions. Are they throughout the week, guys?
Show and tell?
Yeah.
As far as I knew, they were.
Okay. And then they have the Futures and Innovations track, which is track one, track two, app dev, track three, planning and managing your collaboration infrastructure, track four, best practices, business development day, which is on Sunday, and the Birds of a Feather sessions, which are held early in the morning, and I believe at what, 6 o'clock?
Whoa, I hope not.
No,
7 p.m. 7 and 5.
Oh, 7 a.m. and 5 p.m.?
I believe.
Okay.
I must admit, I haven't heard if Speed Geeking's happening this year.
No, I haven't heard about that yet either, but...
They are doing Lotusphere Idol again, though.
Yeah, that's I didn't go to that last year. Did you guys go to the Lotusphere Idol?
No.
I didn't get to it, but I want to know who plays Simon Cowell.
It wasn't
I heard a lot. Everybody who went said they had a great time. I heard a lot of good things about it, which is, I'm sure, obviously why they're doing it again this year.
Mm-hmm. Who won? Andy Pettish? Did he win last year?
He did, and he's actually doing that same session again, I think, this year with Rod, his partner at Technautics.
So you mean he actually won? Oh, so as a result of the Lotusphere Idol contest, mm-hmm. he got to present that session last year?
Yes, and I think he's doing either the same one or a similar one again this year mm-hmm. with both Andy and Rob Axelrod are partners of a consulting company called Technautics. And let's see. Oh, here they're doing Lotusphere Idol 2008 winner, 25 best practices for a risk-free upgrade. I think last year he did, what was it called? Herding cats, how to do a, get your users to cooperate with an upgrade, something like that.
That sounds like a session Carl would give.
It definitely had the word herding cats in there.
All right. I just want to mention something, just question something. Every once in a while, you're going to go out and you're going to see like Google or Hotmail or something out there is going to update their site. And you never hear users complaining anywhere close to what they complain when you actually want to change almost anything on a business application. Isn't that amazing?
Well, that's because the business application they're paying for.
That's right. You know, there's a
true.
No, let's say I'm building an application for just this site. If I want to change just the color, people freak. But if something changes,
although
people,
if you say that, you should go look at how many complaints Facebook had when they went to a new look.
Well, even
they had a few thousand complaints. Actually, it's like Google. I don't like the new look they've got now.
Oh, I hate the new iGoogle.
They definitely seem to be putting in more ads at the top and stuff now as well.
But then again, like someone said before, you're not paying for it, right? And there's no one you could really turn to and say, this sucks. Yeah, you can blog about it. You can Twitter about it. You could put it on Facebook, whatever. But, you know, at the end of the day, your paycheck is being paid to you by that, you know, the big pointy-haired boss, and it's just the way it is, and that's this dichotomy in corporations now, right? And I think it was on Ed's blog, right? Gen Y, right? Are Gen Y people really coming into corporations around the world demanding better IT systems and resources?
No, but you know what? I think they're going to be. I was thinking about this the other day. I think there'll be less training in the future because, you know, think about it. When you had to teach people how to use a word processor and things like that, everybody just knows how to do that now. You don't need to give somebody lessons on how to use a mouse. You don't need to tell them how to insert text and delete text. I think there's going to be a lot less training given in the future to people about how to do things.
So there's been a lot less innovation?
No, not innovation, but I think people are much more comfortable just clicking on things and seeing what happens
now.
Well,
think about my question, Carl. You know, we went through this phase, right, in the 80s, right, of companies, 80s and 90s, of companies adopting PCs and technologies and so forth. And you didn't have to train anyone how to use the web browsers in corporations, right? You did have to train them on at one point how to use Outlook and Notes.
I'm not sure I'd agree with that statement. A lot of people were trained on how to use browsers. Now they don't, because everybody's figured it out. But at the time, a lot of corporations were trained on how to use browsers. They didn't necessarily see value in browsers, so they didn't deploy them for a long time. There's a lot of things that, you know, people at home adopted it much more quickly than it was adopted in business.
Yeah, but like a specific vertical application within a company, I believe that you're still going to have training, right, for these custom vertical apps, whether it's SAP or Salesforce or CRM.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, SAP is like, you know, but yeah.
Yeah, that's a very interesting topic. We should devote a whole show to that. But, Sean, are you still seeing that? I mean, I see it all the time, you know. Oh, my God, you changed the logo.
Well, exactly. I mean, things like that do have a big implication because, you know, if you look at corporates, they have created training documents and things, and they've created hundreds of thousands of them. And when a company changes the looks, the colors, and everything else, they have to go back and update all that documentation because a lot of the time they've written it themselves.
Well, I mean, I've just this past week rolled out an application that has a large number of users across the U.S. And the look and feel is radically different than what they had before. Now, it's more user-friendly, but it's still different. And from what I've heard from some of the non-technical support people within the group I built the application for, that they've gotten a lot of calls that they just have had to walk people through things. And it's not that it's hard, not that they didn't, it was just different.
Yeah, but we live in a bubble, man. Again, we live in the IT bubble, and we know all this stuff. You know, there are people I can walk down an aisleway, and you talk about certain things, most of the stuff that we're talking about on the show, and you know, they'll be like, what? So, you know, again, I think we live in our little bubble, and I know Carl wants to jump in here.
No, I didn't have anything to say.
Well, I mean, Carl, you talked about not everybody knowing how to use a word processor. I think you're maybe fooling yourself a little bit in the fact that, yeah, they can go through and write text into Word and they can maybe format it rudimentary, but I don't see the full use of Word beyond the basic formatting stuff that people should use. I just don't see it out of users. And if they're not going to get training, that's never going to happen.
Yeah, but then you have to wonder what documents are those people creating where they need those advanced features anyway. How many people here have ever used column balance? You know, how many people change styles of a page halfway down the page? I bet you it's very, very few people. You know, this is the whole theory behind IBM's Symfony push, which is like, we don't have all the features, but you don't need all the features because you don't use them.
I see different industries definitely use Microsoft Word completely different from each other. You know, even based on a lot of the training that I give to end users, you know, people in the ones that really need to use more advanced features are people in industries that, you know, like paper pushing industries, you know, like accountants, insurance agencies, editorial processors, you know, a lot of insurance agencies, underwriters, things like that, where they're constantly needing, you know, they need templates, they're actually pretty heavily using it. They actually, you know, they'll use the forms, they'll use lines, fill out forms, tables, columns, you name it. And a lot of times they have very clear ideas of what they want and have no idea how to execute it. So I see that a lot. And I see a lot of really incorrect uses. You know, when people need fill out forms, they'll actually, you know, do it old school style. A lot of people don't even realize that in Microsoft Word, you can create input based forms with checkboxes and text fields and things. Most people are still doing, you know, hitting shift dash to get the underscore. And so they call me in because their biggest problem is they keep typing and it moves everything down on the document.
We don't want people using the form features though, because Symfony will have problems with those. So don't use those. Do it old style, okay?
Yeah, and Jess, but if you get any overflow work of people who don't know how to, you know, that are tired of clicking on shift minus, send them my way. I'd love to help them.
But I mean, it's the thing is, I think, is, you know, I look at my nieces and nephews and they do their homework in PowerPoint and Word now. You know, it's like they know how to put pictures in, they know how to put a table in, they know how to do some charts and stuff. That's the sort of thing we had to train people on to do, to say, hey, look, this is how you can create a chart and explain what the x-axis was and the y-axis. Nowadays, they just seem to get it, and they can just do it.
That's good, because it usually tends to be also one of the things that infuriates people the most.
So where's the innovation wave? What's the next big thing?
If I knew, I wouldn't tell you. I'd simply invest in that company.
Oh, sure. Be that way. You don't want to talk to all your friends out there.
I think the desktop apps are going online. Software as a service. I think that's the way it's going. For this SMB, if they have a good connection, that sort of stuff just makes perfect sense. You're not managing apps. You're not managing installing them. You're not managing updates. You just log in and you've got that stuff.
So you think things like Office Live are going to take off?
Yeah, I think over time they will.
I'm not completely sold yet, but
which isn't.
No, I'm not saying now, but I think the people that are putting in the investment and the effort to do that now are probably the ones that will succeed in the future. I think that heavy desktop apps, people are going to move away from those.
No, sorry. I was just going to say, weren't you talking about earlier that Windows Live is changing their name or something like that?
Now, Sean was or Carl was saying that Kumo, KUMO, is the new rebranded name for Windows Live Search.
Well, that's what the rumor is. Now, for those of you that don't know, we have a long discussion before this call even starts to figure out what we're going to discuss. And that was one of the things we talked about. So if you hear us reference something like earlier, it doesn't necessarily mean it's been in the podcast. It could mean that we were chatting about it in the half hour before we started the call.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, you know, we did talk about rebranding efforts that simply fail. You know, people know the underlying product is still Windows Live Search. And, you know, it's like changing the name of Notes, right? If you would have changed the name of Lotus Notes to, you know, Kumo, you know, people would say, oh, yeah, that's just notes with a new name, right?
You mean AmiPro to WordPro?
Yeah, just like that.
Hey, look, it had to be better than Word because it was had a pro after it.
So Carl, had you come up with any of those that have actually worked? That a rebranding of a product has actually made acceptance of the product better?
Same time to instant messaging and web conferencing. How successful that? That was hugely successful. Now, I will. You know what?
I have one. Hold on. Gold Star. Gold Star, the electronics company, rebranded themselves to LG. And it's been phenomenal for them.
You know what, though? LG tumble dryers and washers suck big time. I just want to say that publicly.
But it's worked for them. So,
It doesn't work for their consumers. Yeah.
Thank you. I had this discussion earlier today with some smart people.
Let's think. I will think up some for the next time we do this.
Yeah, so rebranding, it's a tough thing, man.
What did Singular used to be? Or they changed now?
Was they that changed, MCI? Didn't they? Singular became AT&T. They didn't change. They got bought.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. AT&T Singular became AT&T, which I'm not sure that's necessarily a good move, but you know.
All right. So typically at the end of the show, if you guys haven't caught on yet, we throw out something interesting that we found, you know, out and about. And I think, Jess, you found something that you want to share with everyone, right? Because you and I always do. Carl and Sean are like, what?
I did? I'm like, what?
Another gas tank one?
Yeah, the gas tank one was great because I used that on Gail the other day in the car, and it was right there.
Oh yeah? I have to tell you, it doesn't work on Toyotas.
We have a Toyota.
All of my Toyotas, none of them have arrows on them.
What are they, like 1960s Toyotas?
No, 2005, 2006.
Sean, I want you to go look again and look closely. I saw it, okay?
Is it an electric car, Sean?
Okay, I have something out and about then.
Okay.
Well, and it even ties back to the whole gadget envy and how we change cell phones really quickly. The other thing that I use for my cars that I absolutely love is there's this website called ProClipUSA.com. And what it is, it's a two-step process. You buy a mount for your car, and it's the type of mount that doesn't require any glue, no nails, nothing. It just clips on. So you choose your specific year and make and model of your car, and they'll give you the mount for it. And then you tell them what device you have, and they give you a device holder. And so that actually screws on to the mount that's on your car. So if you either change cars or if you change devices, you know, all the new mounts will still, you can just buy that particular mount that you need.
And you leave, do you guys who have those type of devices in your car, do you leave that like rubber thing stuck on your window so you advertise to everyone that, hey, I probably put the device that clips onto this in my glove compartment?
See, no, ProClip doesn't work like that. It mounts like on the car, doesn't mount on the windshield.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, that's cool.
The one that slides into like small cracks in the fascia panel and stuff, right?
Yes.
Okay, Carl, what about you?
I don't have that.
You don't have a... You know,
my stuff. I have the passenger seat for stuff like
2 weeks, Carl. 2 weeks to think of something. To look, you know.
You know what it is? I've actually been doing some stuff lately on updating Lotusphere Live website to go live for 2009. And one of the things I've been playing with today was actually updating the editor to use an updated version of TinyMCE. And there's a few differences that people will see next time, which is we were using same time as the...
Carl, what are you talking about?
Lotusphere Live?
Well, for those people who don't know, what is it?
So... For the last couple of years at Lotusphere, we've actually had Chris Miller and myself, and at one point I think we even had Ed Brittle in the first year, sit in the opening session and we live blog it. And we've done it using a tool I built just using same time links and Domino database. And it's kind of like a persistent chat, but more of a broadcast persistent chat. So we're doing some changes this year that will make it much easier for us to fill information in and send information. Like we've got hooks into uploading images and having them resize, hooks to Flickr. You'll be able to tend it on iPhones and other mobile devices. But we're building it a little differently this year. Previously, we'd built it from same time links up and then integrated it into Domino. This time, we're building it as a system that's actually doing the chat and the chat updates primarily through Domino. And we're just using same time to provide the awareness and one-to-one chat capabilities. So it's a little different, but it does mean it'll be much easier for people on... devices that don't have Java and things like that to attend and also to take part. Part of that process was using TinyMCE to actually give us a little mini rich text editor within the data entry panel. And I have to say, it's a very nice little piece of code.
And how many people were voyeurs to that little thing last year?
I can't remember. There was a few hundred, though, during the opening session. I'd have to go back and look at what I actually, either I was tracking or Chris was tracking it. We definitely logged a few hundred unique visitors. I think at one point it was like 1,200 people.
Wow.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So we look forward to using it again. Woo. Mr. Burgess, you have anything to share?
No, I've been head down in code for the last couple of weeks. And then, of course, I had conferences for school today. We all know how much fun those can be.
Well, you have like 12 kids, so how long did it take?
I was there for 3 hours. I just want to say that the No Child Left Behind law sucks if your kid's smart.
And what's that about for those people who are not in the United States?
That means that all kids need to be brought up to the same level so that no child gets left out, which basically means we lower the standards for everyone and so that no one falls behind.
Well, too bad they didn't have that when you were in school.
Yeah,
that's cool. That's called a comprehensive education in England.
Yeah. Well, I have some.
No, it is. It's basically where everybody was treated the same, no matter what their skills or whatever.
And that doesn't work real well.
Well, it's interesting because in England, it's still controlled by what the equivalent of our states. So different states have different systems. Some have what are called grammar school systems, where you take an exam when you're like 11 or 12. And if you fail that exam, then you go to kind of like the school with a bit less money. And if you pass the exam, you go to the school that does more languages, sciences, and things like that. So it's one of those systems that, unfortunately, at 11 years old, you can actually kind of define your destiny in a lot of ways in England.
That's not very good.
Exactly. So that's when people come up with things like the comprehensive program. It's one of those things that it's a hard nut to crack, I think.
Yeah, trying to get the math teacher for my first grader to understand that he's bored is really hard for her to grasp.
You know, him hitting other kids and smacking other kids and lighting Molotov cocktails off in the classroom doesn't give her a clear indication?
No, she didn't catch it at all.
All right. Well, if he's anything like you, Sean, he's probably a really smart kid. Wait, I just said something nice about Sean. All right. I have one thing to share, and I put it on my blog. I thought it was really cool. It's an Adobe Air-based product called Balsamic Mockups, which allows you to create, like, pencil-type, you know, mock-up drawings of, like, websites, user interfaces, or just about anything. It's really cool. It's a little entrepreneurial company out of, I think, Italy, Bologna, Italy. And it just started not too long ago, and the guy's making a fortune with this application, and it really works pretty good. It's like poor man's Visio.
So. I tried that out back when, was it Chris Blatnick blogged about it?
Yeah, well, let's not talk about Chris, because I upset him, because he found out that I didn't read his blog entry, and he's still crying. So,
well, anyway, so Chris Blatnick wrote about this a while back, and I tried it out, and the only thing I found with it's like Visio, but you have the templates, you can drag things out, and certain things it was good for. But I found if you're trying to build just like a traditional app versus a web-based app with Web 2.0 kind of things, it was kind of limited in the actual layout you could do, I found. It was nice for creating a quick kind of mock-up pencil thing of some things, but I found it didn't have the flexibility I needed when I needed to actually try and design something with it.
Yeah, I would agree. And I've only been using it for a day, but so far so good. You know, there's the libraries are extensible. They have all these. You can draw your own, right? So, I don't know. I use both Visio and Balsamic. I'll give it a try.
Now, what would be nice is if somebody created a catalog for Visio that had the exact same kind of pencil drawn styles. That'd be kind of nice.
Yeah. Do people sell Visio template kind of stuff out there?
There probably is on like that Office Marketplace thing. There's thousands of things up there. I'm sure there must be somebody selling Visio templates.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, for all those listeners in the U.S., have a happy Thanksgiving this Thursday. For those of you who may be alone out in New Hampshire and would like...
No, I have visitors coming for Thanksgiving.
Oh, well, I was going to invite everyone
I have
over
the turtle partnership visiting. I'm not going to eat a 15-pound turducken by myself. Jesus.
Just make sure you serve some pudding.
I'm planning banoffee pie.
Oh, God.
And maybe a mince pie, too.
Haggins pudding.
Haggis pudding.
All right. Well, that's it for episode 7 of the 1352 Report. Jess, any parting words from you and your hair?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Mr. Burgess?
Everybody don't eat too much turkey and stuffing.
And turducken?
And turducken. Yeah.
Don't go to bed with an itchy bottom.
Oh, Carl.
I don't even want to know where that comes from.
Yeah. All right.
It's an old Confucius saying. Man that goes to bed with itchy bottom, wake up with smelly finger.
All right. There goes our family rating on iTunes. Take care, everybody.